irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And what a hot day it is.
That's
not
right.
Only outside, but in the studio, because of one of our guests who has raised the law of beauty averages.
She does bump the temperature up a little bit, doesn't
yes,
she?
Yes, she does.
I'm sitting right here.
I can hear you talking about me, guys.
I can hear you.
Well, I tell you, what a beautiful day. And obviously, here it is, June 22nd. Summer is well underway, and we are talking about Tonys and classic musicals and other exciting happenings going on here in Los Angeles and all around Southern California.
You are so right about that, Andrew. And in just a moment, we're going to talk to some particularly talented individuals.
No doubt about that. We are, Michael. But before we do that, let's thank our sponsors.
You think? Okay.
Let's do it.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, ladies and gentlemen, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
We are indeed.
Couple of great sponsors we have there,
indeed,
Michael, and obviously
indeed.
So many people who have helped this show over the years and been a part of what we do here. We're so grateful to our sponsors, and they do so much to promote the live arts here in the Southland. Now let's jump right in and find out about the gentleman who's joining us on State of the Arts.
I am so excited that he's here.
I can tell it. I knew you
really
were.
He is a graduate of Chapman University with his BFA in theater performance. Our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, has just come to us from Frozen, live at the Hyperion with Disney Theatrical Productions, and Man of La Mancha, which was presented with A Noise Within.
Already a seasoned musical theater performer, he has appeared as Gaston in Les Miserables with Tustin Area Council for Fine
Arts. Wait a minute, you said he has appeared in Gaston in Les Mis?
That doesn't make sense.
That
does
would
it?
Be an interesting evening.
And that, no, Gaston's not in Les Mis.
No, he's in Beauty and the Beast.
But this says Les Mis. Whoever wrote the script, it may have been me late at night. But is it possibly, that seems like a very French name.
Well,
we'll
have to discuss this.
We'll get him on here and address
Jordan.
It. And obviously, he's been in many roles, including Corny Collins and Hairspray at The Chance. He has been seen in My Fair Lady in Brigadoon with the Rose Center Theater, Twelfth Night with Shakespeare of Orange County, and had a headliner role soloist in East Meets West with South Coast Symphony.
And this coming Monday, the 26th of June, at 8:30 p.m., he will be appearing in concert at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal in a truly spectacular show, Into Love, as he connects underground musical theater and contemporary pieces to tell his heartfelt story. Please welcome the one and only, the young and very talented Jordan Goodsell.
That's right. Welcome, welcome.
Jordan.
Hi there.
Hey, can you clear up the mystery
so
for
much.
Us? Can you tell us, is there a character in Les Mis called Gaston?
There is no character in Les Mis.
We've got to go back and correct that, man. You know, it's so funny when I read that. You've obviously done so much musical theater, and you're a really interesting type. You look like you've played a lot of leading men as well as a lot of character roles, yeah?
Yeah, I do, yes. Mm-hmm.
That makes you versatile. Is there a type of character that you prefer to play?
Oh, gosh. I just love playing a character that has a wonderful journey. Like, one of my favorite characters that I've ever played was George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
I just love that story, a story that's deep and meaningful and resonant still to today. So, but I also love playing the characters like Gaston that are fun and outgoing and really out there and muscly and everything like that.
I did some research on you last night, and obviously everything you do is so great, but it was interesting to see that you've played everyman roles like George Bailey, which is just the most traditional kind of just a guy on the street who gets stuck in an extraordinary situation, and then a character like Gaston who is so over the top and so funny. I thought that was fantastic.
Oh, thanks so much.
Hey, Jordan, are you in a space where it's a little windy?
I am a little. It's a little breaky up right here.
Oh, okay, just as long as you can hear us.
So
we hear the wind.
That's right.
I think they call the wind Mariah.
Right.
They
sorry
do.
About
they?
That. I
yeah. No, it often comes sweeping down the plains.
So we actually have another guy.
Right.
Hey, listen. This is the thing that we want to talk to you about right now, so that our listening audience can take notes.
That's
tell
right.
Tell us about Into Love and what it's all about, and how you came up with this concept, And I am so happy and thrilled to present you at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal on Monday evening, June 26th.
Yeah, I am so excited and so glad to bring this show to Sterling's Upstairs. So thank you, Michael,
first of all,
for that. This cabaret is, I started off just by researching. I wanted to find something new. I wanted to search composers that are new. And so I found just a lot of underground musical theater that I kind of put together, just very passionate storytelling songs. And I just wanted it to tell my story through song, through where I am in life right now, which is kind of like this young man who's learning about love and has been through all these experiences of love. And through that, he learns, through going through the successes and failures and having to deal with fear and face his fears and all the results out of that. He learns to grow into like his true potential and see what his life's purpose is. And mainly, I hope it resonates with the theme of like achieving your dreams and doing what you love to do and knowing that, hey, what you love to do may be crazy, but shooting for the stars.
Now, wow. Jordan, when you get this love thing figured out, can you let me know? Because I would really appreciate
let me know too.
Maybe sell a book on that, brother. That's fantastic. Can you give our audience a little glimpse of what kind of amazing songs they're going to hear in this?
Yeah, there's some contemporary songs. I have some contemporary literature, like some of the new John Mayer that just came out. I have a little bit of Michael Jackson, and then I have songs by some composers like Jonathan Reed Gelt, Alexander Sage Oyen. Like people who do their research will probably know a lot of these stuff. A lot of us who are looking for new literature may know some of these new composers who are some of them are based here in LA. So. Pretty exciting.
Sounds great.
I have a colleagues that produce something every few months, and it's called A Little New Music. Have you ever been a part of that, Jordan?
I have been a part of that. I was part of that earlier this, or it could, I think it was last year in October, and I sang with my friend Cooper Howell. We sang a song from a new musical by Brian Blaski.
Yes.
Now in New York City. But yeah, that was wonderful. I love that. That's such a good idea. And so I really love to bring new literature to life. I think those composers are brilliant and they're a future and they deserve to be heard.
Absolutely. And that's a fun event to be a part of. Anyway, Peter Welkin is my friend who co-produces LA's Next Great Stage Star with me every year.
Yeah.
So we like to support his work as well. Jordan, you explained what your show is about, but you sound awfully young to have all those experiences that you mentioned that in these songs. I mean, I'm not going to ask you your age, but you are certainly a young man, right? Most people don't have these.
I am a young man. Yes, most people don't know that. I guess I maybe don't give off that vibe. I'm very probably a little more classical.
Well, you are. You're very much a class act. Just meeting you and how you look and present yourself. So it's a good thing. But, ladies and gentlemen, as we said earlier, you can see him live on stage this Monday, June 26th. At Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal. And if you haven't ever been to the Federal, it's an historic building in the NoHo Arts District of North Hollywood. And there are lots of wonderful places in and around that area, such as the California Institute for the Arts, mm-hmm. the Television Academy of Arts and Sciences, and the very famous El Portal Theater.
That's right.
Which is going to be renamed on June 30th. In honor, not the theater itself, but the main stage of the theater, in honor of Debbie Reynolds.
Fantastic.
Who used to perform there as an adult and started, I think her first walk in the door at the El Portal was as a child riding her bicycle from Burbank to that theater to see movies on a Saturday afternoon.
What are things you can't do anymore in L.A.? My goodness.
You're coming to a good place, Jordan.
I'm so excited.
All right, we know that you have stepped aside from your beautiful job in Frozen. How's that going for you?
It's going well. Frozen is so much fun, and we're going to reopen our show on June 26th, also the day of the cabaret, so that day our show will be reopened.
Holy cow.
It's going very well. There's some great changes that are happening, and it's really exciting.
Now, Jordan, you must be having to fight off the throngs of fans from Frozen. Yeah, I mean, that show has such a following.
Oh my goodness, it's crazy. I mean, we have three shows a day and 2,000 seats in that theater, so about 6,000 people see our show every day.
Amazing.
And it is, and the theater's filled every time. It just amazes me every time I'm on that stage and I look out and I'm like, wow.
Wow.
That is remarkable. And we have a friend in common who you have been working with who is going to be leaving Frozen to join the company of Wicked in New York on Broadway, Chelsea Emma Franco.
Yes.
How exciting for her, huh?
Yeah, it's so exciting. And such a great journey she's had here. And she's a wonderful actress and singer and performer. And that's just so exciting that she's going to do that. And what a cool goal to have reached for her. I know it's been on her list for a while. And we were not surprised that it happened, but it's very exciting that it's happening.
Well, indeed. And it didn't take her very long to get there, actually. She's also one of the nicest, sweetest young ladies that I know, and with a lovely family as well. So she's paid her dues, so I think it's about time she got her her coming up in New York. Hopefully
it
won't be the last time we see her on a Broadway stage there. I have a feeling we'll see her for years to come.
Well, now, obviously, with Jordan, this show that's coming up at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal, I don't know how many people know what they get to see there when they go, but this is something where they can go and they can order drinks and dinner there, too, correct?
Drinks and dinner, yeah.
And then you get serenaded by Jordan, personally, just about, because that's an
by
intimate
a matinee
space.
Idol.
That's right, and that's right. That really is true, because you're going to get a really up-close and intimate experience there. And it's about how long is the show, Michael?
Well, let's ask Jordan. I think it's about between 60 and 75 minutes, right?
Yes, it is.
Great.
Perfect.
Yes, it is.
Just lovely and enough time to have that beautiful meal an hour or so before the show starts. And
one night only, of course, June 26th, and doors open at 7, correct?
And yeah, that's correct. Okay. And to get tickets for this event on Monday, it's very simple. You go to brownpapertickets.com. Just search, put Jordan Goodsell in the search window, and it'll come right up and make itself available for your ticket purchase.
Of course, the show again is called Into Love. Jordan, thank you so much for joining us here today, man. What a great show this sounds like, and what a great chance for a couple to get out and kind of relax during the summer heat and enjoy some good food and great music, yeah?
Yes, thank you so much, Michael and Andrew, for having me.
Hey, such a pleasure. Have a great show today.
Thanks so much.
All righty.
Bye-bye, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Michael, this is, we've talked about this so many times, but Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal has such a unique place in Los Angeles culture in that there aren't that many places where you can go and have as good a meal as the show you're going to see. Oh. Very often they'll be like, hey, here's a play, and we're going to give you some food as well. But this is great food, great drinks. I highly recommend the Vanilla Manhattan, bring a driver
good.
With you.
I don't even
I can't
that
stop.
Good.
Oh, it's unbelievable. But it really is. And great food. Of course, the burgers there are amazing. All the food's great. And this really is a performer who is going to give you a great show. There's no doubt about that.
Yes, he will. Speaking of burgers and food at the Federal, do you know, this is kind of, it makes me, it's difficult for me to say, but they actually named a dish after me.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's the Sterling Burger.
Okay, I have 19 jokes running through my head. I'm not going to make any of them just because I love you. That's it. The Sterling Burger. Now, is this how you always have your burger prepared or something?
I know. It's not. I mean, it is the one that I order if I have a burger, which I don't have very often. But the burgers are the largest selling thing on the item, on the menu.
As it should be, my friend. That's fantastic.
They have various types. Wonderful. They're on the top 10 lists of all the restaurants in town for best burgers, and they've got great food there. So.
They're considering naming the gutter outside the Federal after me.
Oh,
that's where
now,
I usually
come
stumble
on.
Home after going there. The drinks at the Federal are so good, from their Bloody Marys to their Manhattans to everything they do. But the food really is. I mean, it's high-quality food. It's one of the few places where you can go and get great drinks, great food, and a great show. That's a cool thing to do on a Monday night, you know?
Well, I hope so. And we usually are there on the weekends, Sundays in particular, which are kind of golden nights for us. And select Monday. So we're so happy to have Jordan Goodsell with us on this coming Monday, as we said, June 26th.
And obviously we'll give that information again on how to get tickets there, but the easiest way is just to go ahead and you can call 800-838-3006. That's 800-838-3006 and extension 1. You'll get right there at Brown Paper Tickets and somebody will pick up and answer your call.
And that is 24/7.
It's amazing.
It's the only ticket agency I know that operates like this.
I agree.
Outside of something like Ticketmaster, perhaps.
Yeah.
But Brown Paper Tickets are very cool because, you know, they give a percentage of what you pay for a ticket to charity. It can be a charity of your choice or their official charity.
Absolutely.
So that's something to remember in choosing vendors for selling tickets.
That's absolutely right. Well, let's go ahead and do our live arts calendar, and then
yes.
we'll get to the lovely lady sitting to my right. How's that sound? She
you
posed
bet.
For us. She just posed. Very cool.
She's ready.
Constellations. Roland is a beekeeper. Marianne is a quantum physicist. What are their odds of falling in love? Come and find out at the Geffen Playhouse, Gil Cates Theater, and see the production that The New Yorker calls a singular astonishment, at once eloquent and mysterious.
With infinite moments that can change the trajectory of a life, it's anyone's guess how cosmic collision. Boy, I can't buy these.
I'm with
the mail
you.
Anymore.
It's okay. I put Gaston in Les Mis, man. You're doing fine.
Let's start over. With infinite moments that can change the trajectory of a life, it's anyone's guess how cosmic collision is possible. Nick Payne's Oliver and Drama League nominated hit is a charming, devastating, and profound exploration of the universal truth of finding and losing love. A play that balances on the question of what if is at its core a poignant picture of what is.
The Hollywood Reporter says that Nick Payne's enchanting play compresses a lifetime of joy, anguish, and alternative paths into a fleet, satisfying 80 minutes.
And Stage Scene LA says Jennifer Goodwin of Big Love and Once Upon a Time and Alan Leach of Downton Abbey and The Imitation Game lend their considerable movie and TV star power, charisma, and talent to the Geffen Playhouse's Los Angeles premiere of Constellations, Nick Payne's brain-teasing look at the multitude of possibilities inherent in a single romantic relationship.
What a remarkable show. Constellations is running now through an extended date of July 23rd, so be sure to get your tickets now and see what all the critics are raving about here. You get out to the Geffen Playhouse in Los Angeles to experience this tremendous production before it is too late.
Performances run Tuesday through Saturday at 8 p.m. with additional matinees on Saturdays at 3 p.m. Sunday performances are at 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. and 7 p.m. And for ticket information, simply call the box office at 310-208-5454 or visit geffenplayhouse.org. That was just for us getting through that.
To be honest, I was trying to I was trying to cover up the garbage truck that appears to be knocking down our building as we do our radio show. Can you believe that?
Has it passed?
I don't know, but it was as loud as I've ever heard a thud in my life in here. So
the other day, a few shows ago, we sat here and saw smoke billowing,
drifting by. Yeah, so we made sure we knew where all the exits were. Although obviously this is a great view. We love this studio here and great people here, but there's a lot of traffic going by down here in Sherman Oaks.
It's a major building here in this Sherman Oaks area. So
you can see it from the freeway. So.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, Michael. I love the Geffen. The Geffen always does such interesting, fun
yes,
work.
They do.
And this show has really a wide appeal. The critics kind of universally have said great things
about
it.
Is that on the main stage?
I believe it is. I believe the Cates is the main stage. Is that correct?
I think so.
Yeah. I think it's time, Michael, for what our audiences have been waiting for, don't you think?
What, for me to sing?
Yes, will you please sing? No, but our next guest
somebody
might be
else
able to sing.
Sing.
Our next guest received a Bachelor's of Arts with a special major in contemporary opera performance from Cal State Northridge, although her work includes opera, musical theater, Shakespeare theater, and film.
She is a member of the Independent Shakespeare Company, which produces the Griffith Park Free Shakespeare Festival every summer, where she has performed such roles as Helena in A Midsummer Night's Dream, Pimple in She Stoops to Conquer, excuse me, is that right? Pimple. Mm. Wow. In She Stoops to Conquer, and Mary Moore in the world premiere musical Red Barn. Other favorite roles include Cinderella, Into the Woods, and Ula in The Producers.
She has sung with multiple opera companies, including Los Angeles Opera, Long Beach Opera, and San Diego Opera. She works closely with the Pacific Opera Project, where she has performed Cherubino in Mozart's Marriage of Figaro and Pity Sing in The Mikado.
And on film, she can be seen as the artist in the indie feature The Watermelon, as Kelsey Peterson in the thriller comedy Clinger, and as leading lady Scarlett Ruby Muller in the transmedia romance novel series The Elements Club.
Right now, she is appearing as the no-nonsense Laurie in 3D Theatrical's production of Oklahoma at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center.
Keywords, no-nonsense.
That's right.
There. No-nonsense Laurie. She is talented on so many levels, hilariously funny, and sings with the voice of an angel. Let's welcome Julia Axe. Hello.
People follow you everywhere, man. This was such an interesting show to see. And I'm going to tell you, you said that you could have played Edo Annie or Lori, because I sat there and thought that. You have such great comedic timing, but honestly, you really personified that Lori that we've known for all these years. But this isn't a traditional production, correct? I mean, there have been some kind of new ways of looking at this.
Very reimagined.
There was Native American influence, which I thought was brilliant, and gave Lori that kind of farmer daughter, kind of digs down in the dirt to plant her crops and then goes to the dance in the pretty dress, which Lori's not always portrayed as, is she?
No, she's not. Yeah. She's usually in dresses for the whole show.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good kind of image to have of what is traditionally done with her. And mm-hmm. then in 3D's production that we're doing now, I start the whole show in ill-fitting pants and an ill-fitting shirt and
Ellie May
so
kind of
the wardrobe ladies are wonderful. That was all on purpose.
She said, please put a note in that this is
no,
concept.
Please put a note. We need to take those in notes.
That's funny.
And suspenders and boots and tromping out and running a farm with Ann Eller.
Yeah.
Which I think makes a lot of sense.
You know, I just finished watching Ken Burns, The West, the amazing documentary, and there's at one point where I think one of the girls says something like, I didn't wear my clothes to go out and do the farm work. I just put on whatever my dad wasn't wearing that day. So, I mean, it's essentially, these are work clothes. I thought that was a very interesting and much more true to that time frame sort of thing.
Well, in speaking with T.J. Dawson, who is the executive artistic director and producer of 3D Theatricals and the director of this show, he did a lot of research in going way back into the actual time period of the setting of the show in Claremore, Oklahoma, mm-hmm. and what life was really like back there.
So
and when
Claremore
the state
is a
was,
real place.
It was the state was in a waiting place mm-hmm. to become.
Interesting. Okay.
Oklahoma was waiting to become a state during
right.
that time period. So what Julia just said is so. So true in what we're talking about. So someone young and beautiful couldn't necessarily be in all these beautiful clothes 24/7 when she's with another woman are the only
running
two people
farm.
Running a farm and
that's
have a one handy guy.
Right, that's right.
Something's got to give on that image there.
Yeah.
So I think that from the remarkable reviews that are coming out on the show that TJ has his dream and his passion for presenting the show like this is really being accepted and recognized by the critics here in Los Angeles. So kudos to TJ and kudos to the entire cast who is executing, you know, what his feelings were about this show and making it a new experience for many people who've seen the show before and certainly a wonderful experience for somebody who hasn't.
I thought the set was so amazing and accented the performances very, very well. The set was strikingly beautiful. There's a turntable and it has great versatility, which is something that's so important for Oklahoma because everybody knows Oklahoma. And if you're somebody who's seen the show and not enjoyed it before, this really will give you a different portrait of how the show can be presented, which I enjoyed as much as anything.
And I will say that I think what I really respect about TJ's approach to the whole adding this new concept or kind of delving deeper into what's already there with Oklahoma is he has a really deep, it was very evident throughout the rehearsal process that there's a deep respect for the source material.
Yeah.
It's not a director coming in to impose this concept to apologize for the fact that this piece may not be so relevant.
Interesting.
And, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, there are directors who I've worked with whom it kind of has felt like that's the case. Like we're almost apologizing for the, quote, outdatedness.
Like people who try to update Shakespeare in a way that doesn't work sometimes.
Right.
Yeah.
And there then there are people who'd really do it right who say, I think this actually breathes new life and breathes more truth into the Shakespeare. And I think TJ really did that by finding more truth with a lot of respect for the gift that Rodgers and Hammerstein
Well, and
gave
I think
us.
When you stop to really think about the golden age of musicals, which Oklahoma certainly was the trend-setting show of its time, which led to musicals being done like
of
this.
Of course.
That, you know, all these many, many years later, it's a different world with a different occupation of young people who have no clue about something like Oklahoma.
Right.
But to accept it in this format is something they can relate to. So I think that's a beautiful thing to bring younger people into the audience and see something that is a masterpiece and certainly was Rodgers and Hammerstein's one of their best works ever with a score that's remarkable. How much do you love singing that, Julia?
Oh, my gosh. Just the lush orchestration. And we have this great 23-piece.
It really is a great
orchestra led
yeah.
by Julie Lamoureux, yeah. and they just sound fabulous.
Julie is something else, isn't she?
I have loved working with her.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
I was struck by, and I don't know if this was intentional or not, but I was struck by how well the characters kind of intertwined with each other. Ado Annie's dad, which is such a great part that he's so funny.
So funny.
And it's interesting because he's obviously a character actor who just, he really loves parts like that. But I thought all three of the male leads could have played any of the other parts as well. They were all so versatile and so interesting. My favorite line in Oklahoma is when Will says, "I'd rope one of them up under his little hoof, pull him up real sharp, he'd land on his little rump, and then I think of you." And my little boy, my six-year-old, looked at me and went, "That's funny, Daddy." And I thought, well, if that 50 years ago that was written, that can still play with my young person, with my little son today. And it was interesting because it also gave a doorway into talking about history and the Oklahoma land rush,
right.
which we talked about the whole way home, where right. land wasn't always something you bought. Sometimes it was something you took.
And your children were fascinated by that information.
It's interesting.
At 6 years
especially,
old.
Yeah, especially my daughter, strangely enough, because I think she liked the idea of, hey, there were women stranded out on the prairie at that time, you know.
Darn
it
too.
Happened. Yeah, exactly right. So, but it was, and it for my kids, it was very interesting. They sat and they enjoyed the entire show. It's not a short production. It's a full-length musical.
Yeah.
You get a lot of entertainment for your buck. But I thought the historical part was brought out better in this show than any other version of Oklahoma I've ever seen.
So, well, that's remarkable. I'm so glad you felt that way, Andrew.
And obviously the Native American influence was so important because even today, when you drive through Oklahoma, there's a really extreme Native American influence that's still being impacted. To the people who live in the state. So it was the last state that had an open land rush with the exception of Alaska. Isn't that fantastic?
Look at you. Did you Wikipedia that?
That's where I get all my information. Probably not even, I probably had somebody who read Wikipedia tell me because I can't even log on to the computer
better.
Anymore. So, I really did enjoy it from a historical perspective, but the songs are so beautiful.
And we talked a lot about that because we had a wonderful dialect coach who we really worked on the Oklahoma dialect, and Lori has quite and
right.
a dialect.
She's an Okie through and through, yeah.
She sure is.
Give us a little bit of that.
And you need a little bit. And we talked a lot about balancing that in the songs because the songs are so beautiful and so lush and you know, do we keep the hard R through the songs? And so it's in there a little bit, but ultimately we went for a lighter dialect in the songs because they're just so, I mean, they just stand alone. As
right. They're so famous.
They're so famous.
Yes.
And they're so beautiful. So that was another challenge that we had.
My wife's 80 or 95-year-old grandmother still to this day will wake up and in the morning somebody says, "Good morning." She goes, "Oh, what a beautiful morning." It's like it just comes out of her. It's like she's been singing it for 80 years.
You know?
I mean,
sweet.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's what she does when she gets up. She sings in the morning, and that's her song now that she's always sung.
That's
so
great.
You obviously have a great cast with you. Zachary Ford, who plays Curly.
Yes, amazing actor.
Rufus Bond, who I thought...
Just the best.
I thought his version of Lonely Room was absolutely stunning. Really an amazing...
Chills.
Yeah, it really
every night.
Gave you chills. That's absolutely
lots of
right.
cast members just stand in the wings just to watch him do that song every
wow.
night.
Yeah. Well, standing it is. I mean, he is remarkable. He's been on our program a couple times, and he's so fascinating, and he's such a gentleman,
mm-hmm.
and with such a great career in theater. And
amazing credits,
appeared on Broadway in the original Company of Parade, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And so many other things that he's done in his career.
Yeah.
And he was going to be with us. There was a moment at one point where he was going to be with us today, but his day turned out to be...
He decided to stay in his lonely room.
Pardon?
He decided to stay in his lonely room.
Oh,
unbelievable. No.
It really wasn't. That rendition had the audience completely silent. They stayed stunned for a minute before they burst into applause. It was really cool to see. And obviously, Kelly Dorney, who plays Ado Annie, honestly,
Kelly.
I mean, she is so funny. She just cracked me up the whole show.
You know, this is the first time I'd met her or worked with her, and rehearsing, we don't, Lori and Ado Annie actually don't have a ton of stuff to do with each other in the show Oklahoma, which is a dang shame. I adore working with her. We both, it would be, you know, we'd be trying to figure out how to land a joke line. She's like, "I don't really know what to do. What about this?" And I'd be like, "What if you tried this?" And so she's like, "Okay, let me try it." And then we'd be like, "No, that's not quite right." So we really had this great camaraderie, especially when we were blocking her song "Can't Say No." We would play off each other and go, "What about this? What about this?" So that's probably been one of my I've just really loved working with everybody, but Kelly has been particularly fun.
She is, and she's a nice girl.
She
very,
is
very nice
so
young lady.
So sweet, great colleague.
So where would you say the role of Lori sits on your list of you know, women that you have portrayed in musical theater?
Well, Drew and I were actually talking, and I tend to gravitate towards slash get cast in the more comedic roles, but I'm kind of in a weird in-between place because I have a legit voice crossing over between opera and musical theater, and a lot of the comedic roles in musical theater are for more alto belters. Mm-hmm. So it's sometimes a little strange for me to try to find the projects that really get my juices flowing. Like playing Ula and the Producers is great because
right.
I'm supposed, you know, being 5'10 and tall and thin and blonde actually played to my advantage in that.
Whereas you know, normally it's such a negative to be tall, thin, and blonde in this town.
You know, sometimes they're just like, well, our leading man is 5'8". So, you know.
That must be hard to be a comedian who has the look of an ingenue. That can be tough at times.
It's
absolutely.
And what's odd is actually in the opera world, I'm a lyric mezzo-soprano who tends to play what are called pants roles, which are all the roles that the castrati used to sing. So I'm playing boys in opera, and then I step over into the musical theater land, and they're like, well, you're the ingenue.
Culture shock.
It's kind of great, because I get the full spectrum of characters.
In the opera, they stay true to that, you know, where women play...
Well, they don't castrate men.
Thank goodness.
But they... now there are a lot of light lyric mezzos, which is the voice type that I am, sing these kind of adolescent boy characters.
Countertenor almost kind
and,
of thing?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And countertenors also sing these roles now. We have like a kind of a resurgence of countertenors in that world.
That is. That's become much more of a thing now, hasn't it? I think for a long time that was almost looked at as something they were trying to drive out because they were trying to figure out where that sort of style would fit now.
Yeah.
And now countertenors are being trained well and you're absolutely right.
And you know something else I noticed in the world of opera is that the opera stars are becoming much younger and, you know, gorgeous young women and very, very handsome young men who are kind of becoming idols in that world.
Totally. Yeah,
I think that's true.
And I hope they're being compensated appropriately if they bring in new people to the
opera. It's a tough business.
Usually they don't for about 20 years, and then finally it catches up. So.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Oklahoma at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center put up by 3D Theatricals, who always does such wonderful work. A great way to get tickets for that is just to go visit 3dtheatricals.org, or you can call 714-589-2770. They have normal box office hours down there from 11 to 5, and the people there are happy to help you. And they really do take pride in putting up great theater in the middle of Orange County in a really beautiful space. I enjoyed it very much.
Indeed, and that, of course, runs through this weekend.
Yeah.
And there are four more performances this weekend, June 24th and 25th. Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center, as Andrew said, and that's a lovely area. Get there early. You're in the, you know, the ocean area there, mm-hmm. and go have a great dinner at one of those great restaurants.
That's right.
In the
vicinity. Down to Manhattan Beach and go walk on the pier. A lot of fun down there. Too.
Absolutely.
That's what I do before a matinee.
What
it
a great,
is great
way. Yeah, that's right. And it's straight down. It's Manhattan Boulevard is where the performance.
Yeah, it's on this. You just drive down the same street that the theater's on, and you just hit the Manhattan Beach pier. And
that's absolutely
beautiful.
Right. Great place to be.
And once the show concludes at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center, it then moves over to the very beautiful Cerritos Center for the Performing Arts and has its run there June 30th through July 9th. And you can simply go to the Cerritos Center website on the internet. Very easy to find, Cerritos Center for the Performing Arts .org. Purchase tickets there, and it's a lovely space to see and a remarkable show that is making big noise here in Los Angeles.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, when you hear the words Oklahoma, there's so many things that come to mind. Surrey with a fringe on top comes to mind for me. But it was interesting in talking to my children. They didn't have any idea what a Surrey was. You know, I was like, no idea. So, but they like the chicks and ducks and geese better scurry, so they were kind of singing that part.
There's plenty of lyrics in that song.
Right? It's so funny. But it was interesting to watch. There were a lot of young people in the audience, a lot of people who really responded well to this. I thought the dancing was of such a high caliber at certain points of the show. It was really extraordinary.
Leslie Stevens is
she
responsible
did a
for
great,
that.
Great job.
Amazing choreographer that she is.
I loved some of the tosses they did. That was still very Hootenanny, but at the same time stuck to traditional musical theater conceptual dance. I thought it was very well
and trained. That dream ballet
stunning,
is unbelievable from what I hear. I have not yet seen the show, so
There were a lot of Laurie's in that ballet.
There's a lot, yeah.
I kept going, she's getting shorter and shorter and shorter.
Well, and it was Let's be clear, it goes back to Laurie's adolescence.
That's right. It went all the way back until she was maybe 12 years old or something, I guess, mm-hmm. was the youngest. And I thought it was an interesting portrayal of how a woman kind of comes of age and how she thinks of men and how romance kind of forms in her head, because that must have been hard on the plains. You did not get a whole lot of different types of dudes to meet, you know?
Yeah. No, you didn't. And one thing that this production does do that I think is really cool, in that dream ballet, we see a glimpse into Laurie's history, her backstory, and why, where her parents, where her family.
That's
something that's not really addressed in the script or hardly in any production that I know of. Yeah. So that's also a very fresh new thing that I think adds a lot.
Absolutely right. A great cast, lots of fun. I highly recommend the show for people who want to go see a good production of Oklahoma.
So, Julia, let me ask you something that I always like to ask all of our guests. When did you know in your lifetime that you were going to be a performer, or you wanted to be a performer? What was the influence? How did it happen?
Both my parents, my father is a cellist and a conductor. And my mom is a pianist and runs an opera training program called Opera Works.
Oh, you never stood a chance, girl.
So I know. And when I was eight, I remember I went through a rebellious phase when I was 8 years old, which was much earlier than most people go through their rebellious phases. But I was thinking, I'm not going to follow the family line. I'm going to be so different. I'm not
going to be an accountant.
Well, I thought the most opposite thing of a performer or a musician, as I said, I'm going to be a mechanic.
Nice.
And that lasted, maybe a week. And then,
oh, that's funny.
And then I went back to drama camp.
That's funny.
I just loved it.
A mechanic.
A mechanic. That was the most opposite thing. But I've always loved it. Maybe it's being an only child. I was played a lot of pretend by myself growing up. A lot of dress up. A lot of just creating worlds around me. And, my parents thought that I had some talent, I guess, at some point, maybe. And they enrolled me in voice lessons, thought maybe we should get her some proper training if, this turns out that this is something she wants to do. And I went to drama camp, and I did shows, and I loved it. And then at a certain point, I discovered an affinity for comedy, which not a lot of girls around me at that time had. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of ushered into those comedic roles, and I loved it. And I guess it wasn't really even a question. I was just like, this is what I meant to do. This is what I'm going to do. And something I'm very thankful for is the support of my parents financially and emotionally. Just throughout everything, they're like, we support you, and we think you're talented, which makes it a little easier to support you.
Fantastic.
But I have a lot of friends for whom that's not the case. But I know that I don't take it for granted that I have a really good support system.
Now, are you a California girl? Did you grow up around here?
I'm a Valley girl.
You are.
I was born and raised in the Valley.
Wow.
And I got rid of my accent.
So you still get to see the family every now and then, that sort of thing?
I do. Yeah,
wonderful.
They live in the Valley.
Have they come to see the show yet?
No, they were out of town for opening weekend, and they were devastated.
Oh.
But they sent flowers. But they're coming tomorrow. They're coming Friday night.
Good.
Tomorrow night. And then they'll be here every weekend.
Fantastic. Well, and obviously this show runs for one more weekend here, but then with the extended run at Cerritos, that's a great thing too. So lots of chances to still go see it. Can you tell me a little bit about working with 3D Theatricals? Obviously, Michael and I have a close relationship with that company and the great work they've always done. Is this your first time working for them?
This is my first time working with 3D, and I must say, I absolutely adore it. They are really like a family, and I'm not just saying this because I'm on the radio, I'm in their show. There's really a family feel to that whole company, and they have embraced me with welcomed me with open arms, and I have embraced them back.
Yeah.
And there are 52 people in this cast, and I really love every one of them.
One of whom is the artistic director's daughter, is correct? Who comes out and gives a speech?
It's the three siblings, the 3D, or three siblings.
The
but the Gretchen Dawson.
The gentleman who has
T.J. Dawson.
Oh, T.J. Dawson.
T.J. Dawson. So that was the director. He does a great job.
Yes.
He said he had a child in the show.
Yeah, so he has, he and his wife Jeanette, they have three kids, uh-huh. and then they...
And she's a lovely performer,
and
Jeanette.
Oh,
my goodness.
Yeah, I found out she's a lovely performer, and she's backstage, and she's wonderful as well, and they bring their little baby girl.
Hey, a little five-month-old, right?
Yeah.
That's so cute, my goodness.
So cute, and their son Isaac was in the show, and he is so well behaved. I mean, that kid.
He's in Oklahoma.
Yes.
Interesting.
He was anyway. I don't know if he's going to be every night, but he came in on the big crowd scenes.
Well, that family atmosphere, I think, extends from his speech all the way through what they talked about at intermission and how dedicated the people are there to that company and to what they do. It's a really nice family feel down there.
Big
well,
time.
And I all TJ and his siblings, Gretchen and Daniel, are all these very, very gifted young people.
Yeah,
TJ has the business mind. He has the artistic mind, and Gretchen is handles the marketing for the company.
Course.
And Daniel is largely a performer, but weighs in, you know, on the casting process mm-hmm. with his brother and Gretchen. And it's they're all so dedicated to bringing to their mission statement, actually, mm-hmm. 3D Theatrical's mission statement of bringing this kind of level of performance in shows here in Los Angeles, which is always thought to be a movie town, but boy, oh boy, you see something like this on a regional theater
more
stage.
More and more, you're seeing great work on the regional theater
you
level.
Bet.
You're right, absolutely.
Right up there with the best of Broadway.
That's absolutely true.
I think the 3Ds take yes. a lot of pride in their work, and I think they do a really good job of collecting a family of people who also take a lot of pride
absolutely.
In the work.
And talk about loving parents. Their parents are just
met
that.
Met them for the
dedicated,
first time.
Yeah.
They are great.
They are totally committed to it and have given their children the leeway to do what they are most passionate about. So, again, not many people have that opportunity, but this one has certainly worked out in everyone's favor. So,
and 3D has a fun season coming up for their 2017-18 season. They're talking about Young Frankenstein, which is going to be amazing.
Yes.
Although I always say Young Frankenstein. I'm not a Frankenstein.
No.
I'm a Frankenstein. They've got Million Dollar Quartet. They've got Parade coming up. So some really meaty theater and a lot of fun laughs
season.
Come up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
a surprise show that they can't announce yet. And
I know what it is.
But with Parade, you know, which was a huge turning point for the company for 3D Theatricals, mm-hmm. and what a gorgeous recapturing of that show as it was done on Broadway.
That's right.
And it earned them several Los Angeles Ovation Awards
mm-hmm.
in the 2013 season.
Yeah.
And they are bringing it back with the original company of actors that did it back then. So,
amazing.
Yeah. Can't
amazing.
Wait to do it. Can't wait to be involved with that.
Well, Michael?
Yes.
You know what time it is?
Oh, is it that time already?
And now, embarrassing moments.
Uh-oh.
Can't run, girl. We
what
got you strapped
heck?
In with the
no,
headphones.
I'm scratching at the door. Let me out. Let
she
me
has
out.
Her own sound effects. We've got to get this girl back in here again. We do a little something where we ask people to tell us something that happened somewhere in their live performance career. Obviously, you're an established performer, so you've survived them. When it happens to younger kids, it can make you almost want to quit the business. Have you ever had anything like that happen that was embarrassing or funny to you over your career?
I feel like there's a lot of them that I either can't remember or have blocked from my memory. There's just these large, like, black spots in my memory that I can't remember. There was one audition. It's an audition story that stands out that happened right after I graduated from college. I was auditioning for a very large opera company in Los Angeles, but I won't say who. And I was so young and so nervous. And I went in, and it was kind of like I had been one of a handful of young singers who'd been asked to kind of go in and sing for their one of their casting directors at the time.
Wow.
And I was like, I don't know, this is just like a person to watch. So I went in and I sang, and it was for this casting director who I'd never met, and one of the head coaches at this company who was I now know her very well, and she's lovely, but at the time, very intimidating woman. And so it was just the two of them, and I sang my first piece, and I thought it went okay. And then they kind of talked between each other at the table, and they said, "Just give us a second."
Oh.
And I said, and I blurted out the name of another aria on my list. And they kind of looked at me, and I looked at them, and they said, "What?" And I said the name of the aria again. I was like, "This." And they said, what are you talking?
Why are you still
Why
talking?
Why are you still talking? In my head, it was just short-circuiting. And so I said, you said give you a second. So I'm giving you
a second choice.
And so they said,
oh.
Hold on. And they
don't speak.
Yeah, shut up, please. This was the subtext there. And so they kind of chatted again. And I'm just standing there, like, ready to sing. I said, thinking. And they said, is that the one you really want to sing? And I said, well, yeah, unless you want me to sing something else. And they said, no, that's exactly what we'd like you to sing.
Wow.
And so I said, and then it dawned on me, and I was like, oh, my God, you said a second. And I said, I'm so sorry. And they're like, no, it's fine. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And that was my first introduction to that casting director.
And did they cast you in that show?
They did not.
Oh.
It was more of, it turns out that it was more of an kind of like introductory, general meeting, thank God.
Have you worked for them since?
I have, and he's been very supportive of me since, right. And he's kind of seen me grow through the years and gave me my first principal contract with that company this past December, which was actually in a musical. He's watched me grow throughout since then, and we can laugh about that now.
Do you talk about it now? You've talked to him about it?
Oh yeah, and I sent him an email after the fact. I said, I'm so sorry. He said, no, it was great. It broke up the day of...
Just a second.
It seems so stupid.
Can you give us a second? No,
that's
perfectly natural.
Probably the most horrifying, nightmarish actor-performer movement.
That's a charming story, though, because that could so easily, when you got the adrenaline going and you're listening for keywords... And
oh, and
just,
it was going.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you know Brandon Heinem?
Of course, yeah. You know Brandon, he's with, I believe, Pacific Opera, is that correct?
Right.
Yeah.
The name sounds familiar. I don't think
I know. He had experience with the LA Opera as well. Perhaps.
He may have, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Wonderful singer. Very, very
great.
I know
man.
The name. I know
he
the
does,
name.
Yeah, yeah, Christmas Carol.
He does musical theater and other things, but opera is really his passion.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
What a lovely time with you here in the studio. Thank you for doing this.
One other thing we want to say, obviously, Oklahoma is such a great role for you to play. Laurie is such a wonderful part. But Oklahoma, the show, really does have a lot of value for people to see. It's a historical piece, but it's also got those ballads that you're going to know forever and remember for the rest of your life. Your kids will walk out singing them. But one of the things that I thought was interesting is that it's not done as much as it used to be, because it was done so much for a while. Take a chance to go see this production and introduce your kids to kind of what started musical theater as we know it today.
That's right. Absolutely right.
We've obviously talked about a lot of great shows today. We've talked about Oklahoma at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. And the easiest way to get tickets for that is to call the box office at 714-589-2770 or just visit 3D, that's the number 3dtheatricals.org. We've obviously talked about Constellations as well, which is a great show going up at the Geffen. Tickets are available for that at 310-208-5454 or thegeffenplayhouse.org. That's just Geffen Playhouse.
It's a great play.
It really is. It's a great piece. It absolutely is. And then, of course, the gentleman we talked to earlier today, Jordan Goodsell.
Into Love.
That's right.
Where would that be?
That is at a little place called Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal. That's I happen right. to know the owner there. Nice man. Nice man.
You always get a good seat, don't you?
I always do. I get great hospitality there, too. It's nice when you sit across somebody on the radio and you have to look them in the eye if they give you a bad seat.
Absolutely. And tickets to Jordan's show are very simply had by going to brownpapertickets.com and put his name in the search engine there. And in the search engine, the search window, and or call them at 800-838-3006, extension 1, 24/7. There is a live customer, very courteous operator that will assist you.
So. One night only, June 26th, that's this Monday. Get there at 7, start your meal, and then Jordan
dinner, drinks.
Up,
you don't have to have dinner, you don't have to have drinks,
that's
but
right.
you have to have something, which is fun.
So. Now, how much are tickets for the show again, Michael?
They are very affordable. They are $20.
And I believe even $15 if you don't reserve your seat. Is that correct?
$15 if you don't reserve a seat.
And $20
gets you a reserve seat.
So, I mean, honestly, if you wake up on Monday morning and want to take somebody out for a quick date, you cannot do better than taking them to Federal Bar and Grill at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal, because this is a really great chance. You're going to get to see a great performer and the opportunity to get some really great food and drinks, too.
So we've planned everyone's weekend already, haven't we? We're going
set.
To see Oklahoma at Redondo
That's
Beach.
Right.
And then on Monday they come, that's on Sunday, and or Saturday.
They stop by the Geffen on Friday night. We're in
that's
good.
Right.
How much do we get paid for this party planning we've done for all of Los Angeles?
See
dude?
My fingers right now? What is that, a big zero?
That's exactly what I get for parenting, too.
It's the love of the arts. That's
all these hard
payment.
Jobs and no money. Well, Michael, it was great to see you this week. When will I see you next week and where?
You will see me here on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.